While the wicked are confounded, doomed to flames of woe unbounded, call me with thy saints surrounded, lo, I kneel with heart submission. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This is the poetic translation of the verse Confortatus from the Dies Irae. And I thought that it would be a very fitting verse to use for the sermon. You'll see in a moment. Something interesting happened when we found out about Marilyn's passing away. That very day, Father Lateranta at St. Gertrude the Great offered a requiem mass for Marilyn because he had found out. But when you look at the text for the mass, the propers for a requiem mass on the day of death or on the day of burial as it is today, the funeral mass, something unique about it is there. That is, that the name of the person is included in the orations, that they're actually mentioned by name in those prayers of the mass. But the struggle for the priest sometimes is he has to figure out a way in which he places the name into Latin. So he must find where the name comes from. And this is the case with Father Lateranta and Marilyn, that he knew that it had to be a good Christian name, but it just had to figure out where. Come to find out, Marilyn comes from, or is a derivative of, Mary, Star of the Sea. And it is a two-part translation. The first part is obvious in Marilyn, that it's Mary. The second part, the Lynn, is actually taken from an old English word, which was actually for lake, or a large body of water. And so the transliteration of the name so beautifully is put as Mary, Star of the Sea. And this is why I chose to have the choir sing the Ave Maria Stella right before the sermon, and that beautiful hymn after the rosary referring to Mary, Star of the Sea. This is a point, too, that I will return to. Now, I want to... These things were all segued together, don't you worry. I want to tell you my favorite memory of actually both Marilyn and Jerry both together. It took place actually when I went to anoint Jerry and give him the last rites. It was actually when I got the phone call and was able to steal away. It was, I believe, a Friday night. And I wasn't able to go until after the Friday devotions and everything that we already had scheduled. So it was fairly late at night by the time I was able to make my way to the hospital. It wasn't as if it was an emergency run to the hospital, but I definitely knew I needed to get there. And I went, and it was a full-blown snowstorm in which I went out to the hospital. So that made travel more difficult. It made it even later at night, dark, everything about it. And so by the time I arrived at the hospital was largely buttoned down for the night. Dark in most of the hallways, quiet, trying to allow people the best they can to sleep. And so it was the same in Jerry's hospital room. It was nice and quiet, dark, just a little bit of light coming from small low loom lights that were in there, not the main lighting. And Jerry was there in bed, and Marilyn was there by his side. And so it came down to me to give him extreme unction. Now, if you've ever witnessed extreme unction, the priest takes his thumb and he dips it into the oil of the sick, and he anoints the various points of the senses, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears, the palms of the hands, and the feet. This represents all the ways in which a man may sin in his lifetime through the various senses that he has. And so each one representing forgiveness of the sins that we may have happened to perform in life. Also, when you are able to have the nice full setup for it, the sick call kit includes a crucifix and two lit candles and a white cloth laid out for the linens to be on and all the rest. So there I was in the hospital room, nice and dark, very nice quiet setting for a beautiful reception of extreme unction for a holy man. And as I reached over the second time to dip my thumb into the oil to anoint Jerry, out of the corner of my eye, I happened to see just this faint little glow off the right side of my eye. Marilyn didn't see it out of her eye, the corner eye that is, but she saw it directly on. What had happened was the surplice that I was wearing at that time, this white little part of it, the sleeve caught on fire from the candle. And as it being sheer material, it caught very quickly and started to grow quite rapidly. And without a hesitation, Marilyn came sprinting over, almost fell over the corner of the bed herself, and immediately began to pat the flames out on my arm so I didn't engulf in flames, I suppose. And so she succeeded in saving me from burning. Now, interestingly enough, she was so quick in her response that we were able to patch up and salvage the surplus. It's actually the surplus that I'm wearing right this moment. This is a perfect symbol of our duty as Catholics. We put out fires. We are members of the mystical body of Christ. One, we are all together joined under Christ's head. But it is important for us as mystical bodies, members of the mystical body of Christ, that we remember that we are only one portion of that mystical body. It is made up of three parts. We, of course, the living, are the church militant. Those who have gone before us, they make up the other two parts. There is the church triumphant, they are the saints in heaven. And then there is the church suffering, those souls in purgatory. The saints in heaven, they do not need our aid. But the souls of purgatory, they look to us for help. Marilyn lived an extraordinarily devout life. A very prayerful, pious woman who loved her faith very deeply. Moreover, she was fortified by all of the last sacraments of the church and received the apostolic blessing, which, if received well, in the proper disposition, provides a plenary indulgence at the very moment of death. And even beyond this, her last days were surrounded by family who surrounded her with love and prayers and sacramentals and holy images. And this lasted all the way to the end. As I told you, Sarah, on the phone, you're very much to be commended for how you provided in those last days for your mother. And we should all be so fortunate to have such a similar end for ourselves. Because of that, we have great hope that Marilyn would be swiftly brought into paradise. That even perhaps immediately, her reward was realized. In fact, it is providential even that she died during the octave of our Lord's very ascension into heaven. Yet, She is not canonized. We do not know. These things are not left for us to know with absolute certainty in this lifetime. We instead maintain full hope, but act with full preparedness and safety of caution, that perhaps there was a little bit still left to be worked off in this life, and that a stop in purgatory may have been needed. So what do? We are to pray. We are to expedite that process. We are to extinguish the flames so that paradise may be gained. And even if, as we hope, those prayers aren't necessary for her, they're never wasted. There are many souls who await heaven and purgatory to which they will be applied. And there are many more that have never had anybody to remember them and pray for them, who are left abandoned, but our good prayers can help. Which brings me back to her name, because it provides the means for extinguishing the fire. It is to Our Lady that we should faithfully turn for this means, praying for the souls in purgatory, praying to her because she is the mediatrix of all graces, looking to her especially through the Holy Rosary, which she asks as her most favored prayer, recognizing that Mary is the star of the sea, and she holds all the water which comes to snuff out those flames and to soothe for all eternity souls in paradise. It is also under the title of Star of the Sea that Our Lady was looked to by mariners for centuries for safe passage, that their journey may be quick and without incident. Christopher Columbus, in sailing to the New World, he had the three ships, as we well know. But what is less known is that every single night after the day's voyage, they would tie the three ships together in the middle of the ocean, and there all of the sailors would sing together the Ave Maria Stella, the hymn to Our Lady, Star of the Sea, that was just sung right before the beginning of this sermon. They did that so Mary may guide them to safety on their journey. And so we do the same for Marilyn, praying to Our Lady for her safe and swift journey to heaven. And if, as we hope, her journey is complete, many more wait for the same hastening into heaven, patiently there in purgatory's flames, just waiting for the next Marilyn to come along, that type of person who is going to be that messenger of hope, that soothing of sorrow, that usher in safe passage, and that person to come and snuff out their little flame. Each one of us should do the same. It is our mission. It is what Marilyn would ask always for, and what she did so faithfully all throughout her own life too. And when we join her in eternity, you will see the effects of your prayers. You will find out just how many friends you had helped along that path. You will learn how many saints owe you that debt of gratitude because you made it possible for them to see God face to face more swiftly than it could have been before. May God bless you all, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.